Rainey in the shotgun with Wheaton on first and 25. He's back to throw. Going long. Down the left sideline. Towards the end zone. Juggled and caught. Touchdown. It's Josh Gordon.
Well, great throw by Brandon Wheaton and a good catch by Josh Gordon once he secured it.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Back here on a Victory Friday, Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, the notorious VIC, celebrating what this team has accomplished in just basically 15 days since the sky was falling here in Berea after an 0-2 start in the trade of Trent Richardson. Now the Browns 3-2 atop the AFC North. And for those wondering, Marquise Gray was the emergency third quarterback last night. So I wanted to get that out there as well. Just a great, great victory, a great, great win for this team. Obviously, a game that they were supposed to win. And then there were periods of time when you said, I don't know if they're supposed to win this game anymore, even though you wanted it to be the case. Let's talk a little bit about Barkevious Mingo here, if you don't mind, Notorious. No sacks in this game for the first time this season. However, he was around the quarterback constantly. Three hits, four hurries, was around there constantly. I thought he did a good job. And he did have the one kind of snafu where he lost his containment that led to the C.J. Spiller touchdown, but he's going to get better. And you can just see the raw athleticism and the speed that he shows. I'm very impressed with him. Your guy Craig Robertson had another great game. Yep. I thought played very, very well. Six stops to lead the team in this one. Just a good, good effort again by the team. And Ataba Rubin stepped up. I thought Armani Bryant made a very nice contribution when some of the depth on that front seven was gone, came in with a nice sack. Just a good, again, another strong defensive game. They gave up a lot of points. This is the second time, that they've given up a good number of points in the last three games, but I still think it was a very good defensive effort overall because the first touchdown was really set up by the poor field position after the opening kickoff.
Yeah, give this defense so much credit. It didn't have the same kind of dominant statistical look that the previous four games had. Those were almost like perfect defensive performances. They were masterpieces. We didn't have that. It wasn't a masterpiece. It was sloppy at times. There were those, the containment breakdown, I think, that you saw from Barkevious Mingo is symbolic of what was happening. The Joe Hayden call, you might have said, was even borderline ticky-tack on that pass interference, but it was close enough that a call like that is going to be made a lot of times. And then to look at T.J. Ward, same type of thing in the end zone. So they were playing not the in ways that we expected. And then keep in mind, Armonte Bryant, who steps in there impressively for Desmond Bryant and does some really good work, some other backups that were in there also giving them high fives and credit for their performance, Martin and company. But overall, it was, we didn't look at this defensive play in the ways that we had looked at it before. And I worried going in, and we talked about this, I worried that Buffalo's running game was going to be able to gash this team. The question was, how often would they? They're going to have some runs. Sure. I wasn't counting on a 54-yard touchdown run because I just didn't see this defense doing that sort of thing. But I said they're going to have some success. And you get near the goal line, they're going to punch it in. And they did that too, Buffalo, with Fred Jackson. So two of the best, maybe the best backfield combination in the league. And that was their strength. That was really what was going to carry them. And the defense, though, when it was all said and done, settled down, did what it needed to do. And I think it brought about a level of confidence that was already there. They had a swagger. They had to, because the stats and everything and the accolades, but it went bigger than that. Now it's, we can overcome, we can patch up what breaks elsewhere.
Right.
We could do that. And I think that attitude will permeate.
And they did. And we still haven't seen this front seven healthy, and we're going to get to hopefully see that sooner rather than later. And Buster Screen continues his impressive play. They went after Buster Screen in this game, did the Buffalo Bills. 13 times he was targeted was Buster Screen in this one. He allowed in this game just six catches, I thought did a very good job in coverage, and was very impressive once again. And let's look at the numbers here. In the first three games of the year, Buster Screen was targeted 26 times, gave up 17 catches for 211 yards. That's 8.1 yards per target allowed. In the last two games, he's been targeted 20 times. He's given up seven catches for 52 yards, 2.9 yards per target. He has an interception and four pass defensed, has not given up a touchdown. So this is a guy playing and getting better week after week after week. We know what Joe Hayden's doing. Chris Owen's getting a little better. Buster even had a nice sack in this game. I was very impressed with Buster Screen. And if he can continue to elevate his game the way that he is elevating his game right now, this defense is only going to get better.
Oh, it is. And I think he is doing exactly that, holding up under the stress and the pressure. And Tayshaun Gibson. Tayshaun Gibson.
We talked
that
about
safety,
it. Yep.
Yeah, if that safety position is now in capable hands, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say it is now. I'm going to say after five games it's in capable hands. That's a huge hole that's been filled now. That's a huge hole, and that was a hole that was just that. It was a hole. It was a concern at the highest levels of this organization. That was really the talk in training camp. More than anything else, even when Brandon Weeden might have had his worst days of practice on the practice field, there was more fretting over what might happen or might not happen at the safety position. Rick is on his cell with us now. Hey, Rick.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, real quick observation about yesterday's game, and actually maybe back to the beginning of the season. Not having Lawrence Vickers in the backfield, I mean, you know, I know that they have to make decisions on who they keep and who they let go, but I think when all's said and done, you know, certainly Dawson and not having his leg, but Vickers and not having a guy like that in the backfield to help block, and I think at the end of the year, his presence being missed is going to be bigger than not having Dawson.
I'm not sure. I'm not buying that with the structure of this offense, Rick. I hear what you're saying, and it's a common sort of take that the Browns have insufficiently addressed fullback and that slam ball that you're talking about. But that slam ball was what they used to play. It is not really. It is not North Turner's offense. It is not Rob Chudzinski's offense. It is not really the offense of the NFL. Successful NFL offense. Think. Teams that throw the living daylights out of the football. That's what this team is going to do more times than not. There won't be true balance. I mean, you want to try to get some level of balance, but for the most part, you are throwing to set up running, period. And slam ball with a fullback like that just isn't there. It's the again, their ideal definition of a fullback is a converted running back like Chris Obanaya.
Absolutely. And it's really in the NFL, there aren't a lot of traditional fullbacks out there anymore. It's a changing game, an evolving game. So I agree with you, Vic, there.
Yeah, I know it's hard for people to let go of because older football principles, and I'm certainly not sitting here as a guy who's, you know, I've seen a lot of this, and I could go old school here and say, yeah, you know what, I want that slam ball too. But you just got to go with the reality of the trend of where this game is. Delano in Denver wants to join us now. Hey, Delano.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Standing.
Oh, man, I feel good to be to get three in a row. Hey, I just wanted to just touch base with you guys. For one, I think we should kind of back off of Weeden just a little bit. He is our guy. We all know that he likes to sit there in the pocket, and he's like a tree back there. But, you know, one thing I would like to see is maybe if they can move the pocket for him to buy him a little bit of extra time. You know, I think that would be awesome if we can kind of incorporate that into the offense. The second thing I wanted to mention was Buster Screen. I mean, I talked about him last time. His technique is second to none, and I'm just glad he's on our team, and I'm glad that, you know, that we're building this team the right way. You know what I mean? So, like I said, one thing I haven't seen in the last couple of years is the defense is actually winning ball games for us. And that's – I just kind of want to – get your opinion on what you guys think of our defense winning ball games.
I love it. And I think it's the defense playing great and also the offense doing enough at key times to find a way to win. And that's something to me that seems like it had been missing for so, so long from this Cleveland Browns team, from this organization. That had not been something that had been happening. So when the fact that it is happening now is one of the great, to me, is one of the great things about this football team. That's one of the things that makes me very excited about this Cleveland Browns team right now, is that for the first time in close games, they are finding a way to win, and that is something that becomes infectious and contagious because it's the belief that you have that no matter what occurs around you, no matter what what obstacles seem to be put in front of you. Brian Hoyer gets hurt. Desmond Bryan has to leave the game. You give up you have a penalty in the end zone, gives up an easy touchdown. They break off a touchdown, basically score 14 points to open up the third quarter and erase a 7-point lead and turn it into a 7-point deficit. They find a way to dig deep and get it done. That's what I'm so impressed with. They did it against Minnesota, they did it against the Cincinnati Bengals, and they did it this week against the Buffalo Bills. And for the second straight week, we got to see the victory formation at First Energy Stadium, and I hope it's three in a row against Detroit.
All right, we've got much more coming up. Gerard Cherry is going to join us, as he always does on this show, to get his analysis. It's Vic Carucci, it's Nathan Zagura. It's a Victory Friday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.